real sleepy.
I bet.
Kaz and I was up late working on a last minute job, and my cat is trying to kill me.
Still?
Yeah, he attacks us while we're in bed.
Oh no.
So, there was that.
So is that what you thought were spider bites?
No, that was not. No, that was actual spider bites.
Oh, okay.
I wish the spiders would attack him, actually.
Cat versus spider.
You know, I mean, I know it's because he sees me as somebody that'll play with him, but I don't know how he gets that, because I don't play with him like that. And I don't know how to get him to leave me alone.
So is it, like, while you're sleeping he attacks you?
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, he's been attacking Julie while we're asleep. He attacks me while I'm awake. Yeah, that's rough. So I didn't get much sleep, and I'm feeling it. So I didn't go to the studio today. I just kind of stayed. I still had to do some revisions on this last-minute thing, and then, I'm tired.
You sound really tired, man.
I'm tired. I would like somebody to give me a job.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Have you tried a spray bottle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Julie's been doing it more, but it's impossible to have a spray bottle on you all the time.
Right, and I guess you really wouldn't have it while you were in bed.
Yeah. And even then, I've sprayed him. And I swear to God, he looks at me like, I'm gonna fucking get you. Like, it's not a deterrent. It's more of a, all right. I'll come back and settle this later. It's like he doesn't forget.
Huh.
So,
I'm sorry you ended up with such an aggressive cat.
Yeah, me too. I haven't really bonded with this cat that much. And I don't know if I will. I'm an animals guy, but this guy's a dick.
Ain't no Kenny.
Well, that's the thing. Kenny could be mean, but he and I had a respect for each other, and he was actually very affectionate toward me. And this one will sleep next to me, and it sees me as the person that feeds it, so it knows how to try and con me.
Right.
But it's not I don't see it as a very affectionate cat.
I guess I'm biased towards Kenny because despite you telling me that he could be mean, he was never mean to me.
Yeah. I mean, the only people that say they don't like Kenny are the people that he bit, and that's Julie.
Yeah.
Kenny bit me several times, but he was never like out to get me. He never did that. He never had this kind of behavior.
As I recall, for me, he always came up and wanted me to pet him.
Yeah. If you sat down in my house, he wanted you to pet him.
Yeah.
And a lot of times Julie complains about him. I mean, it's because he would come up to her while she was asleep and try to cuddle with her.
Yeah.
She didn't like it. She was like, get off me.
And I remember that got kind of scary towards the end because he was sort of getting patchy or whatever. Like.
Yeah, he had a pretty miserable couple of years. He was old. He lasted a long time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So.
How are you?
Doing alright. I had to do yard work for the first time this year.
Yeah, it's warm up here right now.
Yeah, we're like high 70s and, you know, like flowers are all sprouting out and leaves and whatnot, you know.
It's nice in here in the basement, but upstairs it's actually kind of, what do you call it, humid.
Open the windows with her.
Yeah. I did that, tried to distract the cat that way. He loves, he does enjoy that. He's like, oh, cool.
Bird.
But, yeah. Look at all the things I wish I could murder.
Right, yeah.
It's okay, you're inside, so I'll get you instead.
He's taking out his latent hunting frustrations on you. But, yeah, so I've cut two lawns this week, and I was getting started on trimming up a bunch of stuff.
Do you like cutting lawns? It seems like you like cutting lawns.
I strongly dislike, almost, I would almost use the word hate it, actually.
You cut a lot of lawns for hating it.
I do it because I have to. You know, I mean, I don't have any choice. I guess I could pay somebody else to do it, but I kind of don't want to pay somebody else to do it until I just can't do it anymore.
Mm.
But, you know, I have to cut my parents' grass because they can't do it. And then, of course, I have to take care of my own. So, fortunately, mine's not all that extensive, so it doesn't really take very long. My parents, on the other hand, is kind of a pain in the ass because they got a lot of mold problems. So it's like getting a lawnmower through the yard's a little rough sometimes.
Mm.
But, plus, you know, I mean, it's been a long pandemic winter and I've gotten like zero exercise. So I was a little beat after my parents' yard yesterday. But, you know, I mean, this is that time of the year, though, when you got to start, like, spraying shit on your lawn to keep the crabgrass and the dandelions away, and, like, it's just the whole spring thing. Like,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. I know. It's more of a less urban thing to deal with.
An urbane thing.
I don't know how urbane it is. But, anyway. So, yeah, there's that. And I'm not quite out of work, but I'm sort of in the same boat as you, where everything's slowed down a lot.
So,
say what?
I'm surprised.
I'm just, you know, usually that happens, like, January, February, in my past experience, just because it seems like a lot of stuff gets rushed to get done before the end of the year and stuff. So there's, just, like, kind of a lull in the first couple of months.
But,
yeah, but you know, this time it's hitting in April instead. At least I hope it's just a lull. I mean, that's the thing is like I know I've got some stuff coming up that just hasn't started yet.
Did you introduce this?
Oh, I don't know. Did I say welcome to week 809 of the Crankcast? I'm Crank. That's Mike. Well, if I didn't before, I did now.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's like it's that thing where I don't want to go try to hustle up a bunch of stuff because I know I've got some stuff coming, but I don't know exactly when it's coming. And I'm afraid to get myself into a jam, essentially. Like, so I might just have to eat the slow time. I'd rather do that than take on too much stuff and start blowing deadlines because that doesn't instill confidence in people when you can't meet your deadlines.
Eat my deadlines.
Plus, I can use this time to do some stuff I've neglected because I was really busy last year and that. And
like, be nice to me?
I'm always nice to you, Mike. Except when I'm not.
Be nice. I do not be nice.
Stuff like that. I don't, you know, it's just I'm trying to muddle through and not think about it too much because otherwise I'll get really depressed.
I'm depressed.
Yeah.
I'm depressed by you. Stop being depressed.
You should polish up your design skills and get some freelance work.
I don't ever want to do that again. I might end up having to. Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody would hire me.
I mean, it's times like this I think about that because I've, for one thing, okay, I've been self-employed for 14 years, about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have a resume. Right? I mean, I don't have, like, job references, per se. Like, with bosses people can call and stuff like that. Or at least not a typical...
People even do that now?
Well, you still have to have a resume to go get a regular job, right?
I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't had a regular job in a long time. But that's what I think about. It's like, you know, if I had to go get a job in a non-comic field type thing, like in comic field, I can always just pull up references by pulling sample pages up of what I've done and who I've worked with and stuff. But like outside of comics, if I had to go get like a, if I wanted to try to like hound up some design work or something, you know, I'm sure I'd have samples, but I don't know. I haven't even really done commercially design work for anybody else in a long time either, because I got frustrated with it. Because I was never one of those, you know, come up with 20 ideas and 10 thumbnails for each idea and then whittle it down. I don't like doing that. And I don't even know if that's still the standard practice, but whenever I would run into that, it would just become really frustrating for me. And I'm like, no, look, I've got an idea. This is what I want to do. You know, take it or leave it. Like, and it wasn't as bad as that, but that's just what it felt like in my head. Like, I didn't want to keep jumping through hoops just to put on a performance, essentially.
Through this fist!
I will jump through that fist. With my fist. And then my fist will hit your face.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that part.
Yeah. But that's just weird. Like, what if I had to go get a job at Walmart? Wouldn't that suck? I mean, for one thing, it's Walmart.
The only thing that would suck would be the people, right? I mean, the people you work with and the people that come in the store, I'm sure that would be terrible.
Yeah, like, and it's Walmart. It's not like
Walmart part I don't have a problem with.
It's not like they're well-known for treating their employees great or anything. Like,
no, but what store does?
I don't know. Maybe I could go work for Target.
Target's just as bad, dog.
Are they?
Probably.
I don't know. It makes me wish, like, when I was a kid, one of my aunts worked for TVs, like regular TV stations around here.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually worked for all three of them at different times, I think. But I was never quite clear on what she did. I wish I would have expressed more of an interest to her about that and then maybe gotten some sort of in that way.
Mm.
It's too late now, though. She passed away recently.
I'm sorry.
I'm too. I'm sorry that actually I didn't really... We were never that close, you know? Like, she was my grandfather's sister, so my great-aunt, I guess.
Yeah.
And I never really saw much of her once I hit my teens. And, in fact, I think the last time we spoke and saw each other in person was, like, maybe 20 years ago.
20 years.
So it's, you know... I mean, it's one of those things where it's sad, but it's kind of a distant sad.
Mm-hmm. You're distant sad.
I am distant sad.
Distant early sad.
Distant early sad warning. Dizzle.
I've been digitizing family movies.
How's that coming along?
Well, I finished.
Yay!
You
mentioned you were surprised by the sound of your dad's voice last week.
It's been 30 years
since
I heard it. So it was not what I remembered. Yeah. It makes me feel like an idiot forever. I mean, I just, adult me would listen to my dad and go, what the, you are a cartoon.
Right. Well, that's one of those things, that, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily notice it growing up because you grew up with it, right? So. Yeah. It was just normal for you. Yeah.
There's some, I mean, the vast majority of it is unwatchable. It's just my mom not turning the camera off while they're driving, you know, just watching scenery as they drive. It is so mind-numbingly boring.
I guess it could be a good B-roll if you were making a, you know, 80s throwback movie.
Uh-huh. I don't think so.
Something like that. Mm. I wish we had more video of my family. We didn't really, like, I think I got a video camera before my family did, like, in my immediate family, you know, I think I was the first person to have a video camera, and that wasn't until much later.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, like, you know, lots of still photos and some audio recording from when I was a kid, because I'd gotten a Walkman that could also record.
Uh-huh.
And I went through this thing. I mean, this was all when I was like 8 or 9, I think. And I went through this thing where I just walked around recording everything. Stuff off TV, you know, family dinners, stupid shit.
Yeah.
And I tried to do it all sneakily, like, you know, press play and just act like I was just laying it on the table, like I was being a spy or something.
That's real dumb.
It is, but, you know, like I said, I was 8 or 9, dude.
I wish I had some of that kind of stuff. I mean, there was one video that's had, like, Christmas and Thanksgiving 1988, and it was just a fucking long ass. It was just nothing but, like, NBC television. So I was like, who did this? There was at one time family memories on this, and then somebody just overwrote it.
Oh, that happens, yeah. Somebody just grabs a tape and doesn't bother paying attention to what's on it or doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, immediately I just assumed it was my brother.
That's probably a good guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could have been your dad or something.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom seems less likely, probably just because she was the one bothering the tape stuff, so she didn't seem like she'd overwrite it.
Yeah. Holy shit, there is stuff. just the balcony at their hotel in Florida, just hours of her just videotaping the ocean.
Huh, but that's soothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a screensaver.
Just put some, ASMR vocals over top of it.
I know. But a lot of it actually was kind of surprising because it was videos of them on vacations without us, you know? It was, like, stuff after I'd left for college.
That's kind of cool. You got to see what they were up to.
Yeah, it was kind of neat that way. Just them going to Gatlinburg, because they would go to Gatlinburg in Florida a lot. And, that was interesting.
Yeah, I really, like, my grandparents were snowbirds, you know? Like, they owned property and had a house in Florida, and then they had a place in Kentucky, and they had, like, a permanent membership at a camp place in Indiana.
Yeah.
So they were traveling a lot. Plus, as they got older, they would just take trips out west, hopping whatever vehicle they owned at the time, and make these just long drives to see the country, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I wish they would have had a video camera with them. That would have been neat.
There was one where they're at Universal Studios. Mom is videotaping. They're going by the Bates Motel.
Yeah.
You can hear my dad go, "Oh, look, that's where I found you."
Oh, okay.
It was weird to hear them joking with each other.
So how much footage did you wind up with? How many hours?
I don't know how many hours. It's probably like 15 videotapes.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like too crazy.
About.
Because you were saying, too, that some of those only had like 15 minutes of stuff on them.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It was like my mom would just waste the fucking videotape.
That is weird, man. Because I remember, I can remember, videotape wasn't exactly that cheap, especially back in the 80s. Like,
oh, yeah, we already talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah, a little bit. You were still in the process last week, though, I think.
Six, almost 7 gigs of videotape.
Oh, that's not terrible.
No. I mean, definitely, I went overboard and got like a little miniature drive to put it all on. And I got one of those 4 terabyte ones because I was like, whoa, videotape, this is going to be forever. And then I'm like, oh, I didn't even fill one.
Right on. I remember trying to, it's about 2007, I guess. I was digitizing old VHS tapes and stuff. It was mostly stuff from like bands I was in and that.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, you know, disk space was a lot tighter, a lot smaller disks and more expensive, as it always was. I mean, or like, it, you know, that continues to be that way. But, so yeah, I was trying to digitize all this stuff and I was doing it in this hacky method where I had a video camera that had a pass-through at the time. And then I could connect it, like, with a FireWire cable to the computer. So I was using the video camera as a basically a digitizer, I guess. And but it was, you know, I had to capture the files raw before I could compress them or anything. Like, I didn't have anything that would compress them on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So my God, it just chewed up hard disk space like crazy. I had to keep like stopping and, you know, compressing shit and then deleting the raw files and stuff.
Well, I'm definitely realizing that like it's taxing my system to do certain things. So I might be, I'm going to try and get as much out of this as I can before I have to upgrade this computer.
Oh, that's your home computer, right? Yeah.
That is... Well, my home computer is my old work computer, so.
Right. You know, yeah.
But, you know, they're still running very well. It's not, I don't do a lot of video on here, and even then it was just digitizing. I'm not doing a lot of editing or stuff, but it started to crawl, and I did have some issues with some of the stuff actually, you know, not converting, and I feel like that was probably because of my system.
Could be, yeah. Sometimes if it can't keep up, it'll drop frames or glitch stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't had to deal with that in a while, though, so I don't know. But anyway, memories. Memories are good. We like them, sort of.
I guess.
Sometimes.
My hands look like I just got finished fighting Jean-Claude Van Damme in a resin and glass underground boxing tournament.
Is that because you were fighting Jean-Claude Van Damme in a resin and glass underground boxing tournament?
No, it's Floyd. He fucking shreds me every day.
Damn.
I mean, somebody would think that I'd, like, hurt myself. Like, that I'm doing, that I cut myself on purpose.
Maybe you should stop picking fights with your cat.
I'm gonna kick his ass.
I mean, you know, if you keep fighting him and you can't win, then you should just, you know, give up.
Yeah, I might start with that philosophy. Sounds good.
Or, you know, you could just get some of those shark gloves and hit back.
Shark gloves?
Well, you know, those, like, whatever they are, the anti-bite gloves or whatever.
Picturing myself just punching him in the face. I'm just going to punch this cat in the face.
Well, sometimes, you know, if you need to make him back down, violence is the only answer.
I'll punch this fucking cat in the face.
I mean, realistically, I would figure Julie would be fed up with it by now.
That is the surprising thing, is that what it is, you know, as much, it's just, she's a cat person, you know. I knew that once a cat was in here, she would be happy.
Right.
Especially since it wasn't Kenny.
Yeah, right.
And she picked Floyd out. I mean, she sent me his listing and stuff. So, I mean, it was really, because it was her idea, it wasn't her idea to get a cat, but it was her idea, so she's happier about it.
Yeah, I guess that gives her a little more determination to stick it out.
I mean, and she calls him sweet and stuff like that, even though she knows that he's an asshole. She's dealing with it a lot better than me.
He's a monster.
I keep telling him his time is limited here.
Ah.
He doesn't listen to me, though.
Well, no. Why would he? He's got you whooped.
He doesn't have me whooped. I feed him in the morning. That's it.
Yeah,
you know?
You keep feeding him even though he keeps beating the shit out of you. You know?
Well, I'm not going to starve an animal.
Of course not. That would be cruel and reckless. That doesn't mean you can't tease him with the food or something. I don't know what I'm talking about there. Never mind. I can't think of any good way to actually train a cat, come to think of it. I mean, short of, like, giving him treats when he does something right and then ignoring him when he does something wrong or something. Like, I am not the cat whisperer.
and punch him.
Is he giving you...
I gotta go punch him.
He gives you the Wiggins.
He doesn't give me the Wiggins. He gives me the Hatins.
He makes you go all stabby.
Yeah, I'm gonna stab him. I'm not gonna stab a cat.
I hope not. Again. That would be cruel. But, don't they make, well, no, I guess that would work. Yeah, I think that's for dogs. There's stuff they make that, like, tastes really bad that you put on things when you don't want them to chew it. You know?
Yeah. Bitter apple spray. Julie suggested that I spray that on my hands, and then I'm like, well, what happens when I touch my eyes or something?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I
guess. I was like, it's on my hands. And she's like, well, you don't lick your hands. I was like, it doesn't matter if I don't lick my hands. It's on my hands.
Well, and there would eventually be that thing where you'd forget you had it on your hands, and then you went to go, like, eat a hamburger or something, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you're gagging because it's terrible. Although I've never actually tasted that stuff, so I don't know how bad it really tastes. It might just be bitter.
Yeah. Well, it's in the name.
Right. But, like, it might be like eating, like, a sour apple candy or something. Yeah.
I'll get into it.
Yeah.
Like, that's good.
You develop a taste for it after a while. It's like when I was a kid, I didn't like the smell of vinegar, but, man, I really love salt and vinegar chips now.
Mmm.
And I don't mind the smell when I use vinegar in my hair. So. In fact, it kind of makes me hungry.
Give me that. Just nibble on your own hair.
Give me that salt and vinegar chip.
Give me my salt and vinegar hair.
Yep. Yeah. Good stuff, man.
You're a weirdo.
Your face is a weirdo.
My face is weirdo.
Anyway. I'm trying to think of what else to do. I'm still reading that stupid James Joyce book.
Jeez, that's a long time to spend on something you don't like.
Yeah, I'm not even halfway done yet. I'm determined to get it done. I want to read it. That way I can say, yes, I've read it, and it is stupid. Instead of saying, well, I thought it was stupid, so I quit. I'm not going to quit. James Joyce is not going to fucking beat me. Damn it. But anyway, so if my brain wasn't already kind of mushy from that, I started reading this book about Saul Bass. You know, he was a designer.
Mm-hmm. I know Saul Bass is.
Okay. Yeah, like really, I mean, even normal people know who he is because of all the title work he did in movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He also did tons of like corporate identity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Characterized mostly by he was a minimalist. He was real clean lines and stuff. Not a lot of extraneous things going on. He liked white space a lot. And apparently was heavily influenced by the Bauhaus movement. So, I don't think he quite embraced their entire philosophy, but like the design sense of it. And so I got this book because I was curious. And when I bought it, I thought it was just going to be a, not quite a biography, but like an overview of his work with a lot of sample pictures and stuff like that. I thought it'd be like a nice reference book for when I get stumped and I want to think about something for design-wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and bought it, and I guess I didn't research it enough because it turns out it's like more of an academic text for if you're in like a, you know, an advanced film class.
Mm-hmm.
So it is sort of a biography, but it's also more of a like an academic analysis of his work as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I assume it's for some, not just like a film 101 class or something. It's probably like, you know, more of a specialty type thing. So it expects you to already have some knowledge about what they're talking about, I think.
Because
mm-hmm. There's just a lot of terms and references to other things that are thrown out without much explanation
mm-hmm.
of what they are. So I'm assuming that, they're from the author's point of view, well, I'm supposed to know this already.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of weird. I've been reading that alongside this James Joyce book, and my brain's just kind of like, I feel like I'm in school again, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, too, because topping all that, I got to write an intro for a thing.
You got to write an intro.
Yeah, like an intro for a collection, a book collection.
Interesting.
And
who would ask you?
I like the way you said that. Thanks, Mike. Like, oh, they must be scraping the bottom of the barrel.
You wanted me to ask it like that.
Like, hey, why would they ask you?
Why would they ask you?
Well, regardless, they did. But, point being is, last time I did something like this was probably like a presentation in school or something. So it's like, yeah, give me 1,000 words on something.
You know. Are you going to mention your vinegar here?
Probably, if it comes up and it's relevant in some way, yes, I will.
I want you to mention some kind of way to mention your vinegar hair.
Well, I will try, Mike. I'll do my best.
I love you. Thank you.
But yeah, so it's just like, I feel like I'm in school, is what I'm trying to say. I haven't had to tax my brain this much in a long time.
Tax my brain.
I mean, for the past at least decade, good like 85 to 90% of my reading has just been leisure reading, like for fun. I've read some manual stuff here and there, and I've read some, like some of the comic stuff I read that's like about the process of comics. And that's more like educational, but yeah, I mean, most of my reading is just sci-fi or fantasy stuff or something.
Sure.
Which, I mean, I guess my brain still works on that too, but it's not like super analytical or anything. So it makes my brain hurt, Mike.
Would you write an intro to my book?
If you want me to. I will call it How to Punch Mike Norton in the Face.
If I had you write the intro to my book, which there is no book yet, but would you mention your vinegar hair?
I probably would.
Okay, now I got to come up with a book.
Well, there you go. It's inspiration for you. Why don't you make it a book about vinegar hair?
Vinegar hair. That sounds like a children's book.
Well, there you go. There's big money in that.
Yeah, no shit.
See, you gotta use your downtime now to find a way to break into the book market.
I've been thinking about it. I don't know how.
You gotta finally write that memoir of your mother or something. Something really personal that, you know.
You know what? I need to do that.
Like,
you know.
Because that's the kind of book that, like, Simon & Schuster would publish, you know?
Jim did that book, and everybody respects him. But nobody respects me, so maybe I should do that.
Yeah. I mean,
I haven't had a rough life like he did.
Well, that's, I mean, obviously you're not going to write the same kind of book as Jim is, because, I mean.
What if I did, though? What if I just drew his book?
Just redid, like, covered his book?
Redid his book as my own. Would it not be convincing about growing up on a reservation?
Well, I mean, you could change it to you grew up with reservations.
I grew up with reservations. That's funny.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of how you'd actually apply, like, some of his later life to you as well.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, you know, one of those, I mean, you know, obviously it wouldn't be like that, but I mean, if you wrote a recollection of your mother or something like that, sounds personal.
I've been meaning to, and I actually, a friend of ours, I'm not going to mention who it is, but a friend of ours showed me some personal work he had done, and I'm like, I really ought to get on that. I'm not mentioning him because I don't know if he'd be comfortable with me telling people that he's working on personal stuff. So.
That's fine.
I mean, also, I think he listens to this, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, I've been trying.
His name is Kevin Smith. No.
I've been trying to think of creative ways to, because one of the things I've kind of griped about off and on is, like, I get so busy, I have to keep going back to the same toolbox to accomplish the thing I need to do. I haven't had a lot of opportunity to, like, expand my skill set or anything, because I don't, you know, I got a deadline, I got to hit the deadline, I can't afford to waste, you know, 3 days on something that doesn't pan out, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to look at ways to make my downtime more productive, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I finished an art piece and posted it the other day on Instagram.
What? I didn't see that.
Yeah. It was just, it's a weird, like, things I took pictures of and then manipulated and put together, and I made, like, kind of a horror image.
I don't believe you.
It's true. It's kind of spooky looking. In a weird organo-spooky way. But things like that, you know, I just, ideas that I've got half-started, that I started a long time ago or whatever, and now I've got some time to finish them off. What I really need to do, though, is figure out a way to apply that to getting more work. But, yeah. Don't you know? And, also, do you remember Chibo Motto?
I do. You used to play them all the time.
They put out an album in 2014 that I didn't know about. I watched a video from it. It's really weird. But, I mean, they were weird, but this is also weird. It's kind of a concept album about a ghost in a hotel.
Hmm.
And it's strange. But looking them up also, and the reason I remembered them again was because they were in an episode of Buffy. Because remember how, like, at the Bronze, when they'd be at the Bronze, they have actual bands playing and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Which I actually thought was pretty cool, because they used to do that in Dawson's Creek, too, off and on, where they'd have bands playing at the whatever club it was they hung out at when they became college people. And it's always kind of cool to see that. Or like how Gilmore Girls had Grantley Phillips in the town, like, singing songs and stuff. And it's always just sort of, it's a neat little extra touch. But anyway, so yeah, so in the course of looking them up, I also rediscovered a band I forgot about called Butter 08, which was a side project. Had the people from Chibo Motto, and it had a guy from John Spencer Blues Explosion, had Sean Lennon, and some other guy I'm not familiar with, but apparently he was just sort of a general guy about town in New York kind of thing. But they were a really cool band. It was just this weird mix of styles and stuff. Also very 90s, but I guess, did trip-hop originate in the 90s? That wasn't a thing in the 80s, was it?
It was a 90s thing, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was cool, because I got to rediscover some stuff that I'd forgotten about. And I'm in like season 3 of Buffy now. Which, yeah, the show holds up pretty well, I think. I mean, there's stuff in it. I mean, it's definitely a dated show. But it's still entertaining, despite being a dated show. And it's things like, it became a little less dated after the first season, I think. The first season was just so very 90s. First two seasons, really. It was, like, crazy 90s. But they actually improved, like, I guess they remixed or remastered the theme song at the beginning and then, like, changed the opening credits a little bit and stuff to kind of make them tighter. And it didn't seem as, like, hodgepodge as the first one. First season. First two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Stuff like that. I do suggest looking up Butter 08, though. They had a song called Butter of 69. And it's a really good song. That was their radio single back then. I remember that being on the college stations and stuff around. But it's just got this cool, like, kind of mellow thing going on. Cool mellow.
Have we been talking? Sorry, I've been nodding off.
Well, about 41 minutes, I mean. Altogether.
I don't know if I'm supposed to... You know, so, I haven't been mentioning it yet, but they have... they've made it live now. There's a new Kickstarter up for Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And they're they've kickstarted stuff before. That's how the new seasons on Netflix got made, was through Kickstarter and stuff like that. But now they're doing this thing where they want to make an online home for everything and actually produce new episodes. And
Rift Tracks does. They've got a central thing where you can
see. Yeah, they have all the old stuff, all the new stuff. They'd make new online content and have live events and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's better described by Joel. It's make more MST3K.com. And I'm mentioning it because I've been doing production work for it.
Sweet.
And, I haven't been telling any, but that was kind of what my up all night job was, getting stuff ready for this.
Cool.
And, there's actually some of my artwork on there. There's some little ticket stubs that have some of my artwork on it.
What's the website?
It's makemoremst3k.com. It just goes to the Kickstarter.
Oh, okay.
And they have a pretty lofty goal. It's $2 million.
Wow.
But they explain to you exactly where that money goes and all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
But, I didn't ask them if I should mention it because I didn't know if I was supposed to say that I was working on it. But now that they've made it, a Kickstarter, I figured that, I should help promote it so that I can continue to be a production designer on the new show.
Well, I mean, it's good that you mention it because typically you're pretty bad at promotion.
Yeah. But yeah, I was lucky to get, hooked up with this, considering a large portion of my life revolves around talking about terrible movies. And, anybody that knows me knows how much I love that stuff.
Right.
So yeah, I've been lucky to be working on this.
The Gizmoplex.
The Gizmoplex is what it's called. It's the first Cineplex on the moon.
What was the whole thing? The Gizmotic Labs or something like that?
Gizmotics Incorporated? Gizmotics. It's the company that Forrester owned. But now it's all the Mads are on the moon. And they're gonna try and bring everybody back to be working on stuff, even Mike and them if they can get them.
Right.
And so I'm describing it bad, so I'm telling everybody to go there because there's a video and everything that will explain it a lot better than me, even though I've been working on it for the past 3 months.
I understand your position. I get really bad trying to describe books sometimes, and a lot of times I forget who actually works on them.
Well, it's weird. I mean, when you work with guys like Joel and they have these big, if you watch the show, you understand how his brain works. And it's very, I'm not going to do justice to what he's trying to describe.
Well, I'm watching the numbers jump every couple of seconds.
Yeah.
They're already up to 389,500, and it jumped again, 390,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That means I'll have a job.
Jobs are good. We like jobs.
But, think of it that way, if anything, because part of this money, I think, goes to giving me a job.
Yay. Help Mike work.
Yeah, help me work.
Making Mike work again.
Yeah.
That's at makemoremst3k.com, which takes you to the Kickstarter, which is also makemoremst3k.
Yep.
So I guess you could just go straight to Kickstarter and look up MST3K and you'll find it, or Gizmoplex, or whatever, stuff like that.
Yep.
Make more.
Yep. So now I can write off my film accurate Tom Servo puppet that I bought.
As reference, yeah. Smart move. Well, kind of an advance. Smart move.
That thing's pretty expensive.
Yeah, that's one of those things that
I didn't buy the Crow because it was too expensive.
Couldn't you have just made one?
No, man, they're hard to make. You can. I'm sure there's like a kit on eBay that, like, making Stormtrooper armor or something like that.
I mean, they just made them out of whatever they had at hand, right?
Well, there are specific items that are used to make a Tom Servo and a Crow.
Like, Crow, like, his face is mostly just a bowling pin and some sort of field hockey mask, isn't it?
Yes, but there's other things.
Yeah.
Like, his body is like a hibachi grill or something like that.
Yeah. I guess by the time you get all that stuff, you might have spent enough to just buy one already made anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if you bought a hibachi grill just to make it into something else, you know, it's probably going to cost you a few coins here and there.
Yeah.
Who's the green robot?
That's Growler.
That's new.
Yeah, he's from the new seasons. He's very difficult to draw.
And that little red robot.
That's Ben Waverly. He's like a little sidekick dude. He's a big nerd. Nobody likes him. Okay. But Growler is like the Rolf. He plays piano. His voice is actually very similar to Rolf from The Muppets.
Right on.
Yeah.
What's that redheaded lady's name?
Felicia Day?
Yeah, okay. I thought she looked familiar.
She's Kinga Forrester. She's Dr. Forrester's daughter.
Gotcha. I haven't seen her in something in a while. She popped up for a while there. She was popping up on all kinds of different, like, TV shows and little shorts and things like that.
She still is.
I mean,
she's been Supernatural for a long time.
I'm guessing probably I just haven't been watching a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, it's fascinating just to watch the numbers jump.
Yeah, it's almost, I was going to say, it's almost going to be, by the time we finish this, it will be at 500,000.
It's looking like it. I mean, if it keeps going the way it is.
That's good.
Crazy. Did this just launch today?
As far as I know, it probably launched when we started the show.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's amazing. Wow.
People like Mystery Science Theater, man.
They sure do. I was always torn. I mean, I haven't seen any of the new ones, but, like, even going back and watching MST3K, I kind of like Riff Tracks better.
It's interesting you say that, because I did too, but now, like, for the last year, I feel like Riff Tracks is kind of treading water.
Well, okay, to be fair, too, I don't watch Riff Tracks. I watch them when whatever episodes pop up on...
I was buying them as they came out.
So, yeah, I don't have a reference point for, like, new versus old Riff Tracks, really. Because I get them... Sometimes when they come up on Amazon, they're, like, not that old, and sometimes they're really old.
Yeah.
I just know I went back, like... Because for the longest time, I was a big Joel fan. You know, I couldn't get used to Mike. It took me a while to get used to Mike.
It did. It took... You know what? I liked a lot of the episodes with Mike more, but if I could have had them with Joel, they probably would have been amazing.
Which is weird because, like,
he's got such a weird delivery, you know?
Right. And I mean, I Mike would pop up before Mike became Mike. Well, I mean, he was always Mike. What I'm saying, before Mike was put on the ship, he would pop up in side skits and stuff.
Well, he was the head writer, so he would always.
And like, I remember one where he was Morrissey.
He was Morrissey. He's been everybody. He's been anybody that they needed, like, usually from the movie, he would show up as.
So for a long time, and then I didn't see any Joel episodes for a long time. In fact, I hadn't seen MST3K in a long time. And they, like a year or so ago, they started showing on, like, a local channel, they started showing reruns of them. And I sat through a few Joel episodes, and I'm like, oh, these are rough.
Well, it really matters when they are. Like, the early ones, like, if you can find the stuff that didn't air on Sci-Fi Channel,
yeah,
like the stuff that was before that, I mean, not even Sci-Fi Channel, but Comedy Central, that stuff, kind of hard to watch, some of it.
I mean,
there's long spaces where that nobody says anything. You're just literally watching the movie.
Yeah, and the choice of movies got better over time.
a lot of old black and white movies that are pretty boring to begin with.
Yeah. Like, and if there wasn't a lot of engaging joking going on, it was just.
Speaking of, like,
hard to watch. Yeah.
Who was the designer you were talking about?
Saul Bass.
Saul Bass. They did one of his movies. Actually, the only movie he ever directed.
Oh, Phase 4.
Yeah.
I love that movie. That. Yeah.
And I find that to be very boring, that movie.
I think it's a great movie.
Mm.
Got a really creepy ending. Yeah, I was looking that movie up because they just released a deluxe edition that it includes an alternate ending that got cut. That I've never seen it. It's supposed to be bizarre, weird. And it also includes a bunch of shorts, short films that he made, educational mm-hmm. stuff, and him talking about doing title design and stuff like that. But it's I guess it came out at the end of last year in November, but I guess it sold out really fast and it's really expensive now.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed in that because I'm like, because I've got an old DVD copy of it, but I thought, hey, it'd be really cool to have this on Blu-ray or whatever. It's got a lot of neat, natural photography of ants in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you like ants, you're really going to like this movie.
They're very fascinating ants, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they crawl around tunnels and stuff. And the lighting. The lighting, man. But anyway. I have a rougher time with Riff Tracks or MST3Ks, where I actually like the movie. I think sometimes. Because I like Enter the Dragon, but Riff Tracks Enter the Dragon I didn't like.
I don't remember seeing a Riff Tracks Enter the Dragon.
I think it was Enter the Dragon. It was a Bruce Lee movie.
You mean Fist of Fury.
Oh, okay, yeah, it was Fist of Fury.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that movie. I didn't like it so much when they were making fun of it.
Yeah, it's not their best.
But, anyway. I think it's, considering how easy it is for people to just do something like this now, it's not amazing, but it's impressive that both Riff Tracks and MST3K are still ongoing, you know? Because back when MST3K, back when I first saw it in the 90s, early mm-hmm. 90s, I guess, that was the only thing like it, really, that was you had Svengoolie type shows where they pop in between and make jokes about it or something.
There still isn't really anything like Mystery Science Theater. There's a whole mythology around that.
Right. But what I'm saying was it was it was unique for its time, but also it wasn't easy to do a thing like that back then, you know?
No, and that's why it took a long time for it to actually become a thing.
So the fact now is, video stuff like this is kind of in the same boat that music's become, where, you know, everybody could do it in their bedrooms if they wanted to, kind of thing. I'm not mm-hmm. saying it would be good, because it still takes talent to write the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen a whole genre of copycatism on this type of thing.
Because it's hard to do.
I think it really is hard to do and make it actually watchable and funny.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that think they're good at it.
Like we tried to do it for the 24-hour show.
Yeah, that wasn't funny.
No, probably. I haven't gone back and listened to it, but yeah, it probably
wasn't funny at all. And it was hard to do. I wanted to claw my own eyes out.
We weren't. That's the other thing, too. You know, as much as this stuff looks like it's on the fly, it's not on the fly. They watch this stuff and make scripts for it.
Yeah, they're reading scripts.
Yeah. And we were, you know, you can't, I mean, I'm sure a group of people who are really in sync and funny, naturally funny anyway, could probably sit down and maybe do it live. But, even Riff Tracks Live isn't live. I mean, it's live than there, but they're not making it up on the spot or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a scripted thing, which it means that it's, you know, you have to have the talent to actually write something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, yeah, it's kind of impressive, I think, that, and especially as old as MST3K is, that it's back again and still around.
Back again!
And while I realized that RiffTrax wasn't an extension of MST3K, it kind of felt like it was because it was the same guys.
Oh, absolutely. It is and it isn't. I mean, it's not an official Mystery Science Theater thing.
Right.
But those guys are Mystery Science Theater.
They were what MST3K was to me, which maybe, I don't know, that's why I guess I didn't jump into the new one so much, because it wasn't so much the format that I liked, but it was the people doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't jumped into the new one yet. It just broke 500.
Yep. Yep. The new one is something different, and it's also very enjoyable. It's a different style, but...
It's new. Modern. Fresh.
But even it isn't the new one anymore.
Oh, I guess not really. It's been around for a while, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's new bots now. I mean, I don't think Hampton or Baron Vaughn are doing voices for their robots anymore.
Oh.
And there's going to be a new host.
A new host?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're just shaking everything up.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll get around to checking it out.
Yeah.
One of these days.
I recommend it. I think you'll like it.
What do they show it on?
Netflix.
That's another reason to get Netflix again.
And it's definitely, I mean, it's a different style. It's like Fast and Furious jokes coming at you. They don't waste any space.
So it's the, like the Dawson's Creek of MST3K.
Some of it, yeah. I didn't know if I'd like it after the first one, and then I saw the second one, and I'm like, this is a little too much, man.
Or the Amy Sherman Palladino of MST3K.
It's not that annoying.
Depends on what you find annoying. I never found it annoying. I like the banning, like the witty patter. Anyway. You watched another movie that I watched, or that I had on my list, but I had already watched it by the time you watched it, so I, you know. Hallowed Ground.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
For what it was, it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't. I had a young, really young, what's her name in it?
I mean, there were two young. I mean, had Jamie Alexander and Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah, Chloe Grace Moretz. Anyway. I haven't watched a lot of stuff because I've been watching Buffy. And everybody already knows everything about Buffy. So.
Too busy watching Buffy.
It's like, come on, what more can you really say about Buffy at this point?
So much Buffy.
Wasn't there a Buffy spinoff about Faith?
No. There was not.
I'm just misremembering that then?
Yes.
Huh. I could have swore there was a Faith spinoff. So it was just Buffy and Angel then?
Yes.
Oh. Wonder if I should rewatch Angel again when that comes up.
A lot of people consider that the superior show.
There are a lot of things to like better about Angel. I really liked Lauren, the character Lauren.
Yeah.
And that whole monster club thing. Like, I thought that was a really good element of the show. And Fred was Angel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the whole Fred character arc thing was really cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. Hey, do we have any email?
No, we don't.
Okay, then. Then I guess all I need to do is see if there's anything in stores this week. Because, you know, there might be things there that we want to tell people about or something. I need to start scripting this show.
Okay.
That way we can sound like we're talking off the cuff, but we have a script.
Get on it.
So we don't have all those, you know, weird pauses and stuff. And that even when you're, like, you know, sleepy kind of thing, you can still just read the script and won't have to think about it.
Get on it.
That'll improve my my writing acumen. I'll be an actual scripter.
Get on it.
Oh, there's an Alice Cooper book in stores this week.
Did we work on it?
We did not, but I just think that's interesting that there's an Alice Cooper book in stores. Do you not think that's interesting?
I don't care.
Apparently his new album is supposed to be really good. Which, that's another sort of impressive thing for as old as he is and as much of a genre guy as he was, that he's still like successfully putting albums out, you know? At least, you know, I think so. I don't know. I mean, what do I know? Yeah, I'm not seeing much anything there. This isn't something I worked on, but it's something somebody I work with put out. Nocterra number 2. It's a Scott Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
That's in stores. And it's, Tony Daniel is working on that too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, that's in stores, you know. Oni. Agretsuko Meet Her World number 1 is in stores. And that was a funny issue. Also Rick and Morty Worlds Apart, number 3 of 4. That's the book that has the slut dragons in it.
Mm-hmm.
And all sorts of innuendo and double entendre and sometimes triple entendre. I think that, you know, if they could work it in, they probably would get a quadruple entendre going on somewhere in there. Just so many limbs. It's all knees and elbows, man. I'm telling you. It's not a pretty sight. It is a pretty sight, though. It's got two different artists working on it, which I thought was also an interesting take on that book, because you're following two different adventures, like parallel adventures. One involving Morty and his other grandfather. Jerry's dead. And then that's with the slut dragons. And then the other one is following Rick, and there's this little fascist bear version of Rick. I can't remember exactly what they call him. But they're going off on separate adventures. So one artist is handling the Morty side of it, and one artist is handling the Rick side of it. So it's kind of cool. It's like a nice visual cue kind of thing. So anyway, that's what's in stores. Closing thoughts, Mike?
Turn it off!
Turn it up now!
People who listen to this, who still listen to this, have to know our little idiosyncrasies. And they have to know that whenever I say, how long do we have left, that means that you're going to go on for another 40 minutes.
It's not 40 minutes. It was only 20. And that's only because you asked me that when we were only 41 minutes into it. So, okay then. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is iemike.com. Go check out the makemoremst3k.com Kickstarter.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Where
are they at now?
Go read battlepug.com.
They are at, holy shit. God, slow down. Just stop for a minute so I can say how much. Jeez.
What? What's going on?
It's still going. Okay, they're at 566. No.
You all right there, man?
No, it's going. I might have a job after all, guys.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's just it's kind of exciting watching the numbers jump like that.
No, we'll see.
So, anyway, go read battlepug.com. Go buy art at cadencomicart.com. My speech patterns are getting really bad. I need to learn how to enunciate better.
Check your brain. I hope your brain's okay.
I might not be. There might be something wrong with me. Anyway, We'll see y'all next week. Have a good weekend.
Bye.